The amazing thing is that I did something that I didn't think I could do, right? And the same thing happens when we're building confidence, that when we don't think we can do it, it's not about getting to the destination, but it's about taking a step every single day or every little bit of the way to gain evidence, like, okay, I did this. Maybe I can go 1% better.
Hi, I'm Kelly Kessler, and I'm the host of the podcast, Rewiring Health. Whether you're an entrepreneur who feels like you have the weight of the world on your shoulders, trying to juggle all aspects of business, or you're a corporate employee who feels like you're pulled in multiple directions, trying to excel and meet deadlines, or you're a passionate parent who feels like you pour your heart and soul into your children and there's not much left for you, you're in the right place. This podcast is designed to give you tools, tips, and strategies around how you can cultivate balance within your life, feel energized and present, and stop feeling like you're compromising your health and inner harmony. I am so glad you're here. Stepping into the unknown can be scary. It can leave you asking yourself, can I do this? Do I have what it takes? But what if you approached it with confidence and had the formula to create confidence in your life? Who would you become if you leaned into a whole new identity? In this episode, I have the pleasure of speaking with Julie DeLuca Collins. Julie is a highly sought-after speaker, business coach, and author dedicated to empowering entrepreneurs to build and grow successful businesses. With a passion for helping women establish and expand their brands, Julie has become a trusted advisor for many women. Certified in Tiny Habits, Julie leverages her expertise to guide individuals towards positive behavioral changes that lead to lasting success. Her coaching expertise extends beyond this domain, as she is also a Thrive Global certified coach, providing holistic guidance to her clients whenever they need it. Julie's impressive achievements include publishing her book in September 2021, quickly soaring to the top of multiple categories, earning the coveted number one spot. Building on this success, she is currently preparing to release the audiobook version and already has plans for future publications. As a dynamic speaker, Julie has captivated audiences with her insightful talks and has been featured on prominent media outlets such as ABC, NBC, and Fox. She delivered her first TEDx talk at the TEDx Mellon Street in November 2023. I loved this conversation with Julie, and I'm so excited to share it with you. Welcome back to another episode of Rewiring Health. I am so honored to be joined by Julie DeLuca Collins. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Kelly. I have been looking forward to our conversation.
Me too. Yes, absolutely. I know we connected a little while ago, and I've been definitely looking forward to having you on. And I know this can be such a valuable conversation, so I can't wait to get right into it.
Yeah, let's do it, because this is one of my favorite topics. The work that you're doing is incredible. And, you know, this is a really fun topic in everything that you're sharing on your show.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it means so much to, especially have, you know, people like you on here who just have so much value to give and share with us. So it's going to be just great to go back and forth with this. So
yeah,
one thing I want to dive into, I know confidence is such a big thing that you talk about and something you've personally experienced in your life, how to cultivate that in your life. Do you mind talking a little bit about your journey of how you've managed to become more confident in your life? And what does that
Sure.
look like?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that this is one of the things that people have a misconception when it comes to confidence. They think that you're kind of born with it. They think that you have to, like, you have it and it's sort of this gift. But confidence has nothing to do with, you know, being born with it. Confidence is something that you nurture. And, you know, there is a level of ability and I'm a firstborn. I'm the oldest. So yes, there's a little level there that allows me to have confidence. Also, my personality, if you know the DISC personality assessment, I'm a high D, high I, and that's always something that helps to build confidence. But ultimately, we don't always feel confident. And I'm hoping that people can know that or learn that and understand, because in an Instagrammable world, Kelly, we look at everybody else and we fall into that comparison trap. And of course, that dings our confidence. For me, I again was very confident growing up until I hit a patch in my getting into middle school. And I started to struggle with my confidence. And I realized that I could decide who I wanted to show up as. And if I wanted to show up as a confident person, I needed to take a little step forward despite the uncertainty, despite the discomfort, to then practice at being confident. And the more that you practice the skill, whatever it might be, speaking up for yourself or putting yourself out there, raising your hand to participate in something, then the more that you practice that, the more that you're gaining sort of that evidence that you can do it, and then you become more confident and you feel more motivated to do it because, hey, I did it. Wow, my goodness. And that's really one of the things that I learned throughout my life, even though I didn't know that was necessarily behavior design. But when we create the right behaviors, then it allows us to see the evidence that we can do something. So that I see that in my life in so many different ways in which I feel uncertain, I lacking the skill. You know, I talk about there's this story. It's probably on my Instagram, the video in which I share a little thing that happened in my early 20s. I went with a group of friends. It was sort of this leadership training, and it was in a ropes course. And I, of course, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, I can do this, you know, a little cocky here. And they had this huge, like, telephone pole. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't think I can do the whole thing, but I'm just going to try, right? And I wanted to try the very first. So I climbed up this, like, 6-foot ladder up the pole. And when you get to, like, 6 feet, then the pole all of a sudden has these spokes that you can, from the ladder, start to climb. And as I was going, no, I was like, okay, well, I'm pretty high up. Now, mind you are harnessed in. If you trip or fall, you're going to be caught. But, you know, our brain, the way that it works, it is telling you, danger, danger, you're climbing a telephone pole. You could fall and die. And there's so many different ways in our life in which when we're starting to do something that we've never done, our brain is immediately going to go to that place where it's going to say, danger, danger. But in this particular moment, I had a lot of people, come on, you can do it, keep going. And so I decided, what is my next best thing? All right, I'm going to try to go one spoke. I'm like, oh, that wasn't bad. Another spoke. And I acknowledge the fact that I was feeling fear. And that's the other thing that we sometimes, when we have a discomfort, a feeling that we're not happy with, we kind of try to push it away rather than acknowledging it. And when we try to push it away, then we become that kind of like grows exponentially. So as I kept going up the pole again, one step at a time, slowly, I got to the very top. And I thought, all right, well, I got to the top. Great. I can come down now. I'm going to climb down. And then I looked down and my friends had taken away the ladder.
Oh my
And I'm
gosh.
like, put the ladder back. And then they're like, no, keep going. Go to the top of the pole. And at the top of the pole, there was a board that you can stand on, that it was like a 2 by 2, 2 feet by 2 feet. And basically, you have to kind of get to the top and put your knees and then push yourself up and stand up. Of course, you know, this is not a very big thing to stand on. And I, as I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to sit, put my knees down and kneel on it. And that was the next best thing, right? And as I'm pushing myself up, then I can feel like kind of the pole waving a little bit, and I can feel the harness kind of pulling me back. So I felt like I was going to fall back. And again, the fear kept coming up. And I have to tell you, I'm not usually afraid of heights, but my knees were shaking and I was shaking and really acknowledging that, like, take a deep breath, you can do it. And I thought, all right, I'm just gonna stand and then I'll come down. And I stood up, and of course, I'm facing away from everybody else that's there. And they're like, turn around, turn around. And that was like the next step, like, okay, slowly. And this, I don't even know how long it was taking, but it was a long time. And I'm like slowly turning. Okay, I'm gonna turn again. And every time I turn again, the harness is pulling. and the pole is swaying, and then there's a plane going above, and I can feel my breath being very short and my knees kind of clanging with each other. And finally, I turned and I saw everybody below me, and they were so excited. And I'm there and I'm like, oh, I did it. I didn't think I could do that, right? And it was such a sense of like accomplishment. And then my friends said, hey, there's a trapeze in front of you. Jump and catch the trapeze. And I thought, what? Like, no freaking way, right? And I'm like, nope, let me down, let me down. And it was the kind of thing where I didn't think I could do it. And finally, after much time passing and standing there, and I can't do this, I can't do this. And the more that I could told myself I couldn't do it, right? The more that I wasn't willing to try. And then I thought, well, they're going to catch me. And all I can do is try. And I mean, and then I thought, well, it's not that far. I'm sure I can jump. And sure enough, I took a deep breath and I jumped and I grabbed the trapeze and I was like, yay, me. Little did I know that when you're nervous and your palms are sweaty, they're going to make you slip off of the trapeze. But the amazing thing is that I did something that I didn't think I could do, right? And the same thing happens when we're building confidence, that when we don't think we can do it, it's not about getting to the destination, but it's about taking a step every single day or every little bit of the way to gain evidence, like, okay, I did this. Maybe I can go 1% better, 1% better. And that's the thing that I draw on, so many of these experiences that I've had in my life that, look, I jumped to a trapeze and I made it. Granted, I didn't stay there long enough. And if I practice it again, I'm sure I could get better, right? So that's the one thing that I encourage individuals to do is practice it and then get better and acknowledge and celebrate that you're doing it. Because celebrating that you are doing it as opposed to celebrating that you've got to the destination is really the thing that's going to help you gain your confidence along the way.
Oh, I love that. There's so many amazing parallels with your story and with confidence. And I just love that. And one thing that really stuck out to me, and you said it a few times throughout that, was decision and willingness. And those are such huge parts of that because it is that it empowers us to realize that we have the power to make that decision. It's not life happening to us, but we can create this as to become an opportunity for ourselves. And I just love that, how you paralleled that and say that. Time again, because it is just totally true. And one thing,
Totally a decision.
yeah, absolutely. And one thing that stuck out to me too is that you were talking about the stepwise process of what you were going through. But if your friends, I would imagine if your friends told you when you were standing on the ground, you're going to do this, 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 and this, you're going to do this, they're
I was
probably so,
out.
yeah, it'd be like so much overwhelm. You would never think that you could do that. But if you break it down, it's like you were building that confidence along the way. And I just love that example because if you can break that down and apply to your own life and see how maybe if you don't look at the furthest thing and something that feels impossible, but break it down, it all of a sudden becomes possible for you. And
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's where people really go wrong, right? Because we saw somebody accomplish something and we're like, oh, I wish I could do that. And then everybody's a beginner. Everybody starts as a beginner. And we need to normalize that one, we're always going to feel fear when we're doing something new. And two, that it takes that consistent action to get traction. I just heard of a quote, and I have been meaning to look to see who said it. But someone said to me last week, a black belt in karate, it's a white belt that never gave up and kept showing up. And I was like, oh my God, that's so true. And I think that this is the th same thing for everything that we can apply this to.
Yeah, that is so true. I love that quote. That's so good.
Yeah, so let's borrow it, right?
That's it. Absolutely. It's so true. And one thing, as you were just talking, I want to have you dive into this a little more is that comparison, because with social media, there's constant comparison. You're seeing someone who is on their chapter 12 and you're on chapter one and you're like, how do I get there? That's completely feels completely out out of the realm and very foreign. Can you talk about how comparison can become such a trap for people and really halt
Yeah.
any kind of action?
Absolutely. And I think that this is one of the things that I saw in my career, when I was climbing the corporate ladder, that a lot of women would see somebody else achieving something and they said, I could never do that. And this is really why I started doing the work that I'm doing now, because I heard that all the time. Oh, I wish I was as confident as you are. I wish I could climb the corporate ladder. I want to promote. And they wanted, right? But they were looking at the destination as opposed to really enjoying the everyday. Comparison is the thief of joy. And by the way, it's normal. We are going to, our brain is pre-programmed to go to the negative. So we are going to then come up with these scenarios in which we are going to only see our lack of, right, as opposed to the gifts. The one thing that I want to point out to people is that even if you don't really understand that maybe somebody else is at their chapter 12 and you're at your chapter one, in their best day, they could never compare to who you are and what your gifts are. And we forget that we're such unique individuals with our gifts and our talents that we have what it takes to succeed, but to succeed in our own road, in our own journey, and really staying in your lane is one of the most important things that you can do in any type of journey, goal setting, trying to build health, trying to build a career or a business, whatever it might be. And that's one of the things that we really have to focus on. Comparison also, many of us don't pay attention to the things that we've accomplished. We only focus on the gap. I know many of my clients, and this is one of the reasons typically when we work together, the first thing I remind them or I ask them to share with me for the day is what is their win for their week? And many of them are like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. Because we're not used to celebrating ourselves. It seems a little conceited to celebrate ourselves, right? So we stay away from doing it. But yet, when we actually pay attention to what we have done, to the things that we've accomplished, we could be pleasantly surprised and really understanding where we are and celebrating even the small wins can give us the data to let us chart the course for where we're going next.
Yeah, I completely agree. Celebrating the wins is such a huge part. And there's actually a science behind it. It increases the dopamine in the brain, which
Course.
reward circuitry and
Yeah.
motivation. So it's like you're using the science behind it. So there's a huge part to it. But I find, and tell me if you've experienced this, a lot of people, especially women, are almost fearful of celebrating themselves because it's almost like letting their foot off the gas.
Yeah.
Have you had that experience?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and I am not immune to this happening. And I see it so much. And I think that when we celebrate, we believe that we're, you know, and many women, right? As little girls, we're told, well, you know, be nice, don't be loud. And having all of these ingrained expectations or things that have been passed on to us are the things that now we carry as adults. And by the way, whatever behavior we created, right? Like, I'm not going to speak up because I don't want to seem that loud person, right? I don't want to seem bossy. I don't want to seem whatever, right? We have these behaviors that we created that maybe and perhaps in those early years and that first moment, it was shielding us, it was protecting us. It was a behavior that we created to protect ourselves. But ultimately, these are the things that end up sabotaging us later on in life. We spend so much time judging ourselves. I don't do this. Oh my God, look at my kitchen. I have dishes in there. Or wow, I have a pile of laundry I haven't gotten to. If we only pay attention, right, to the things that we don't do, the things that we do are never going to be enough, right? Because we're not celebrating and we need to create that habit of celebrating ourselves. You know, I love looking at my day before I go to bed. I lay in bed and I have two things that I do. When my husband puts his little mask for his CPAP, it's a trigger, it's a prompt for me to remind me to re feel the gratitude. And I say under my breath, I'm so grateful for him, for everything that he does. And I'm also grateful for, and I come up with a couple different things that are going on in my day, that things that I, even if it's really small, minuscule, that gratitude helps me have a better attitude. And in the meantime, I also come up with my wins for the day.
If you're an entrepreneur, a busy professional, or a passionate parent, you know life is hectic. And the last thing you want is to feel more overwhelmed trying to fit in all the self-care recommendations that you hear. That's why I created my free 12-minute wellness habits guide that gives you the most important things that you can do throughout the day to feel renewed energy and clarity throughout your life without feeling like you have another job to do. Download it in the description today.
I heard this from Rachel Rubin a long time ago, and I've adopted it because it's so awesome. I come up with my little ta-da list for the day rather than the to-do list, right? Because we all have the to-dos we never get to. I have my little ta-da. Ta-da, this is what I did today. And I come up with one or two things at night that I can look and say, I did it, Julie. And that keeps me going, and it keeps me in that state of gratitude in the state where I, again, I'm getting the little hits of dopamine that make me feel good and help me and encourage me to keep going.
I love that. I have not heard that before. The ta-da list. I love that.
Yeah.
That is wonderful. And it is something that as a whole, I think we don't do enough. We have to start celebrating our wins. We have to make that part of our routine. And I love that it is part of your routine so that you can get to the end of the day. And it's like, what a beautiful way to go to sleep when recognizing all the things that are abundant in your life and that are really working out well for you and that you've created. So I absolutely love that. One thing I want to go back just a little bit further and just go deeper into like self-sabotage, because this is something that impacts so many people. And I know you talked about one aspect of that is recognizing the things that we're not doing or we're not good enough at. What are some other symptoms or signs that people may see or in their own life that may be signs that they are actually self-sabotaging and they may not even be aware of it?
Yeah. So people pleasing is one of the biggest ways. And by the way, I want to normalize that all of us have a judge that is always telling us the thing, right? You're not good enough. Who do you think you are? And really the judge, the voice of the judge, it varies for all of us. Sometimes we have a very loud, mean judge, and sometimes we have a very quiet, nagging judge. But really, I want individuals to hear them, hear that voice that is telling you, who do you think you are? What are you doing? That judge is very common to all of us. The second thing is that there's all these other cast of characters, all these other saboteurs, sabotaging behaviors that we have. They vary from person to person. One of the biggest saboteurs that I have is the high achiever. My high achiever, in addition to the judge, tells me, well, if you're going to do this, you might as well be the best at it. And that perfectionism tendency is the one that slows me down, that, you know, keeps me from doing the thing or getting discouraged because I wasn't perfect. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. What's wrong with me? My other big sabotaging behavior is the restless saboteur, in which I am going down the path and I'm like, oh my God, look at me. I'm doing great. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, but wait a minute. This is getting so boring. I'm doing the same thing all the time. Oh, look at that shiny object. Let me go do that. That looks more fun. And then when you take, a shortcut or you deviate a detour, then you're going away from your destination. And that is one of the things that really sabotages us. There's also the controlling saboteur. There's a hyper vigilant, the one, you know, the hyper vigilant saboteur. Individuals who have this particular behavior tend to be the ones that are looking for the other shoe to fall. Like, oh, what do they mean by that? Do they really like me? And they're questioning everything, right? And then that really prevents them from moving ahead as well. My favorite, and the one I see in a lot of individuals, a lot of my clients have this. is the people pleaser saboteur. And the people pleaser is the one that says, hey, if you do this for your family, if you, for instance, we just came off the holidays, right? And I know that, later on in the spring, we're going to get to Easter and Mother's Day, and we want to do it all for others and we put ourselves last. But what happens is not only do we toll ourselves emotionally, physically, because we're trying to make everybody happy, and then we end up not being happy, there's no way we can please everyone, right? And then we kind of like retract, and then we start to feel angry, like, oh my gosh, how come they didn't appreciate me? I'm unappreciated. And then you create this terrible cycle of trying to please, not being enough. Then you either beat yourself up for not being enough, or you become very angry at the people that you're trying to please because they didn't acknowledge, or you didn't, they don't see what you're trying to do. And that begins to create burnout for many of us. And that's really one of the things that I would love for individuals to pay attention to. When we put ourselves first, when we say, you know what, I don't have the bandwidth. I just got asked to volunteer, and for as much as I would love to, I know that I don't have the bandwidth. And part of me feels like, well, I hope they don't feel, they don't get upset at me. Maybe I'm not going to be asked again. These are all the things that are going to be normal that come up. But ultimately, I know that for my mental health, for my physical health, I don't have the bandwidth. And being able to say no to someone is saying yes to yourself. And that is incredibly important, but it's something that you need to practice. And by the way, the first time you say no to someone, the first time that you decide to not people please, not to do the things that people expect from you, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. And you're going to really, be uncertain and watch that feeling and say, oh, this is normal. I'm doing something different. So it's going to be uncomfortable. And then this way, the more that you acknowledge, like I said, right, the uncomfortable feeling is normal. And then just say, well, I'm going to do it again and I'm going to do it one more time. The key component here to the behavior design of changing, right, that behavior, maybe of people pleasing, is also as you're doing the new behavior of saying no to someone, celebrate that you did the behavior because our brain changes when we feel good. Not when we feel bad. So if you say no to someone and then you go into the, oh, I'm terrible. Maybe I shouldn't do that. Then your brain is in this negative emotion and then you're not going to change and you're going to fall back into the pattern of people pleasing, right? Whereas if you say, okay, I'm going to say no, I cannot commit, or I'm not going to have a perfect dinner, or whatever it might be, right? Then say no. And say, wow, that was really hard for me, but good job, Julie. You did it. You said no. You put yourself first because that way you're going to actually have more energy to do all the other things that you want to do. So those are some of the examples on the sabotaging behaviors.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing those because there's so many that I'm sure people are listening and be like, yep, I do that. Guilty. Like
Yeah.
I know I've experienced many of those in my life. And sometimes even society praises many of those, the perfectionism, always showing up for people. It's like you're praised for that. So sometimes you don't realize how much it is contributing to your burnout and to your health impact and everything else that's going on in your mind and your body. So thank you for highlighting those and sharing those because I'm sure for someone who's listening to this, it's like, oh, wow. And it all starts with that awareness. And
It does. It
yeah.
does.
And I love too the distinction you made when you start to say no and you're uncomfortable to celebrate that because there's such a huge difference where if you can do the behavior and say no, but if you're still feeling the guilt and shame, you're just repeating the cycle. So that's such a huge distinction you made, again, celebrating that win and how important that is throughout that process. So I absolutely love that. One thing that has I've heard throughout this process, and I wanted to go back before now, and now you've kind of brought up this again. I want to go into it deeper. Is talking about identity, because this is such a part. Because if we identify as, I always show for people, I don't say no, I just meet their expectations. If that's our identity, how do we start to transform our identity so that our actions are aligning with that, and that they're meeting each other, and there's a resonance between what we're doing, what we're saying, and what we're feeling?
Kelly, this is one of my favorite topics. And I actually, this is something that I leveraged before in my life, is creating the identity, having the aspiration of who you want to become. I am actually reading a book. I'm almost done with it. And I'm reading it for the second time, actually. It's called Be Your Future Self Now. It's by Dr. Benjamin Harding. And one of the things that we tend to have a difficult time is actually having a vision for the future. But really envisioning who we want to be is going to be one of the greatest ways that you can create the behavior today to be that person in the future. The concept of the future self, again, for me, it has driven me to accomplish and to do a lot of different things. And you don't have to start really big. I'm going to give you an example of how my future self shows up for me. So every day I want to show up at 110%. I want to be able to work with my clients or do a recording or whatever it is that I'm working on and be at my best. But obviously, in order to be my best, I need to go to bed early. I also, when I wake up, I don't want to have like all this craziness going on, right? So at night, before I go to bed, there's certain things that I do. There's certain habits, right? Because I picture my future self, that aspiration of who I want to be. I want to be that calm person in the morning that sits and has coffee, that journals, that does some movement, right? So what does it take for me to do that? Well, it takes for me to then, I'm going to clean my kitchen. So then when I come downstairs in the morning, it's not going to be a mess. Oh, I'm also going to make my coffee. I'm going to preset the coffee pot, right? So that in the morning, Julie can have some coffee in the morning and not be running around. So I create these little tiny things and behaviors that my future self is going to thank me for. And guess what? This morning, future Julie was so happy that past Julie did all those little things. And this is the same thing for your life. When I was losing, I started a big journey of health. I lost over 55 pounds right before the pandemic. I also became a yoga teacher. I'm a certified yoga teacher. But one of the things that I did is I envisioned what it was going to feel like when I actually finished my yoga teacher training. What was that going to look like? What was I able to do? And for instance, being a yoga teacher meant that I needed to really be able to be in the moment, practice slowly my yoga. The same thing with losing weight. What was it going to take? The concept of the future self said, hey, I ate healthy foods. I ate a lot of veggies. I ate salads. I had some times in which I had my hamburgers, right? And really understanding and picturing, what did it take for you to get to who you are, right? Envision that self and then ask yourself, well, what did she do? And your future self will tell you, what did it take for you to do that, right? So all of these things and creating that identity and having a vision of the identity will then give you the tips and tools to then behavior design, right? Mm-hmm. If your aspiration is to run a marathon, then, well, what did I do? Okay, well, if I'm sitting on the couch every day, I'm not going to get there. But that girl that ran the marathon needed to train, right? Needed to do strength training, needed to go running, incrementally get better. So really all of these things, I like to tell my clients, picture that future self. What does she do? What is she like? Really embody that person today and have that clear vision. And then write down like what she did and create all of the tasks and things, and then create the doable list of the things that you're going to start to implement slowly but surely to get you to that place.
Yeah, I love that. This is, if you're listening to this and you have not heard this before, you need to rewind and listen to it again because that there's so much gold in that. And that has made such a huge difference in my life too, doing that. I did not do that quite a few years ago. And I can see the difference when you start to live that way. And attaching the emotion to what it's going to feel like is key. Like that is so much because you start to embody it. You start to feel it. It almost feels real in the moment. And that's it's exciting. It's that it's how your brain works to and your mind works to move it in that direction. And it's just the power that we have that we don't even realize. Like our subconscious brains are so powerful, and we're just living in autopilot, letting them do what they are doing on a program that is 30 years old. And we don't realize the power that we have within ourselves. And just the example you shared is it's so valuable because I think even if you have heard this, sometimes you maybe hear it in like, where do you want to be in 20 years? And it feels so insurmountable and so foreign that it's hard to even conceptualize this. But when you talk about what does future Julie tomorrow want to do, now we can start to see, okay, I can do that. I can do one day of future self. And then now, okay, let me try a week. What is a week from now? What does that person want to do? And now you can start seeing, just like you talked about in confidence in the beginning of this, that stepwise process of figuring it out as you go, but believing in yourself, being willing and taking that step forward in the process. And I absolutely love that. It's just such a great full circle in the way it's come and how our brains work in many ways the same way, but just different
Yeah.
avenues.
And by the way, Kelly, and I'm blanking out, but there is a study that was done. There was a research study that actually took individuals. They took two groups. So group A actually went out and practiced making a basketball shot and practiced that and practiced at getting better at their basketball shot. And then the other group actually just envisioned making the shot. And the ones who actually envisioned it were more successful than the ones who actually did the physical practice. So this is one of the biggest things that our brain has the power to accomplish what we set out to do. I use the hashtag Julie 2.0. It's one of my favorite hashtags because I'm always becoming a better version for myself. But for many of us, we think, oh, change is hard. I could never change. But if you close your eyes and you look at who you were 10 years ago, I can guarantee you that you're not the same person. You have evolved. So if we can really understand that there is change and evolution that happens in all of us, then in 10 years from now, you are going to really be able to also, you're going to change either way. So why not create the plan of who you want to become then?
Oh, totally. Absolutely. It is. Change is one of those things. It's inevitable. It's going to happen, but why not be intentional about it and create your destiny rather than allow it to be created for you? And that's everything. It's so true. And just as you were talking about that study with the basketball players, it's even true for like stroke rehab. You can visualize if you have a limb that's not functioning the way it should, you can visualize that and that can help it actually function physically. So the brain is powerful. Our minds are powerful. We're just not harnessing the power of them in the right way. Unfortunately, we're using them for things that aren't really serving us. So if we can start to change the dialogue, change that, transform it, and really again apply the value to it and start to identify in the way that we want to identify, things can start moving us in the direction that we desire, and then we can create the life that we dream of. And there's just so much gold in this episode that, just actionable things you can start doing today to move your life forward so that it is different next week, it is different next month, next year, and 5 years. So absolutely love that.
And by the way, you have to help yourself. One of the things that I do is I actually write. I am already as this happened, right? I just did a TED talk, and for two, almost 3 years, I wrote every day, I am a TEDx speaker. I am a TEDx speaker. And that was one of the things that helped me and reminded me, hey, I have this goal. I am a TEDx speaker. Well, what does Julie TEDx speaker do? Oh, she looked for TEDx opportunities to apply to. Oh, she wrote an application. Oh, she had a talk. And all of these things really contribute to getting you to where you want to be.
Oh my gosh, I love that. And that's so incredible because here it is in process. It's not just theory. Like you're actually using this to create reality in your life and If you haven't watched it, watch her TED Talk because it's great. It's just, especially if you're struggling with confidence, it's such a great TED Talk. So I love that that's the process that you took to get there. And here it is, it came to fruition and you're living what you envisioned for years. So I absolutely love that. Incredible. For someone who wanted to work with you, connect with you, where can they find you?
Sure. So I am Julie DeLuca Collins on all of the social media platforms, except X or Twitter or whatever it is. I don't hang out in that dumpster fire. You can find me in all the other platforms. My website is goconfidentlycoaching.com. And if you're looking to maybe find out where, how you sabotage yourself, I actually have a quiz you can take. It will give you who your saboteurs are, will give you your top and how to overcome those sabotaging behaviors. So if you go to goconfidentlycoaching.com/quicklinks, you will find the quiz there.
Love that. And I'll put everything in the show notes. So if you're listening to this, definitely check that out so that you can click on all those links, connect to Julie. And thank you so much. This has been such an amazing conversation. I know it's going to resonate with people because these are things many of us struggle with and are always looking to grow and evolve through. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, Kelly. And by the way, yes, we all struggle with it. And the more that we normalize that it's part of the process, the more that we can grow and really build our confidence. So don't be afraid to speak. Where are the areas that you need to improve and the areas of growth? Because that's what it is, right? It's growth. So embrace that and embrace the process and you will go confidently in the direction of your dreams.
Yes. And I love how you said that because it is no matter how long, how far you are in the process of growth and transformation, there's always more to do. And you realize how much more there is to do. So it is completely part of the process of life. There's never a point where you are like, oh, I made it. So I love that. And it is. So thank you again for all.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It was such
great work with this podcast. And, you know, what an amazing opportunity for individuals to hear some very tangible stuff. I love the work that you're doing. So keep doing it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And it's, you know, guests like you that make this so amazing. So I really just appreciate this conversation and everything you shared today. And thank you again. And if, for anyone who's listening, if you found value in this, even if there's one thing that you're applying to your life and you're seeing changes, please share it with someone else so we can spread these messages and help other people move through life more graciously and with more joy. So thank you so much, Julie, again. And thank you for everyone who tuned in today.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. And thank you, Kelly.
Hey there. Thanks for listening to this episode. I hope it serves you well to start rewiring your brain to create the life you desire. If you found value in this, please share it with a friend and tag me on Facebook or Instagram at Dr. Kelly Kessler.